Grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, Lord Jesus, our Savior, King of all. We worship Him today, meditating on the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, just verses 1 to 5. Hear those again. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, which was as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of the city street and on each side of the river was a tree of life that yielded 12 kinds of fruit. The tree yields its fruit every month, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will worship Him. They will see His face. His name will be on their foreheads. There will no longer be any night or any need for lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, dearly, dearly beloved of God. So young people are trying to figure out what to do with their majors, and some know, some wonder. And back when I was in campus ministry, they said on average, American college students changed their majors 8 times in the course of their 4 years. I don't think it's getting any better. It's just hard to tell, right? What are you going to do? You want an important job? Well, how would you like to work on a cruise ship? There was a really important job on a cruise ship, making sure that everybody, all the rich people, could be happy with the best view of the ocean as it passed by. So that was your job, and you thought it was very important, and you worked really hard at it, and then you felt safe because everybody said that ship was unsinkable. You know where I'm going with this? There's an expression in our culture now that it describes futility when we say he's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Eh? What difference does it make? We get so wrapped up in so many things in this life like that. Happens in churches too, right? So you want a more important job, maybe something closer to home. Why would you like to be, say, a highway construction worker? On a very important bridge. August 1st, 2007. Lots of heavy equipment. Highway 35W over the Mississippi at Minneapolis. Pretty much all of us have been over that bridge, haven't we? And your job's important because there's lots of heavy equipment on top of that bridge, and they've been piling on more gravel and more layers of pavement. And who knew? The gussets and the bolts weren't built for that. So I wrote down some numbers off the internet: 111, 18, 115, 13, and 145. Y'all got that? Yeah, 111 cars plunged with the bridge. 18 construction workers. They fell as far as 115 feet. 13 people died and 145 were injured. It was the worst bridge collapse in U.S. history. If only I'd have known, right? Well, there's something the Lord keeps on saying in His Word. He says, and it still bears truth today, and it always does. He says the nations exhaust themselves for nothing. It's all coming to an end. And you know, you're really, really blessed when you have the Lord predicting where things are going. Teach us all to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, Moses' psalm. Gain a heart of wisdom. Don't let that last book of the Bible frighten you into not reading. We need to know. Lots that we need to know. In seven visions, cycling through the last days as life's little day winds down to a close and suddenly will be at an end. All seven visions are the whole New Testament era. They end in Judgment Day. But you and I are given this view of hope from the Lord. And he does this over and over again, especially in these last two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. Yes, take warning. Take it seriously. But even more so, that your new man may be encouraged. Gather this hope from the Lord who says, we are looking forward to a bright future beyond the sun, first of all, in the water. So back in chapter 21, John, in his vision, was told, in the first heaven and the first earth, as if that's passed away, the new heaven and the new earth comes about, and the sea no longer exists, no longer any sea. So water today is often a lot of a problem, right? John must have really felt this comforting because he was in exile on the island of Patmos, and so the sea separated him from his loved ones on the mainland. Without that sea to separate, well, you've maybe had loved ones overseas too, loved ones on deployment. The sea separates to this day. But there's also something else about the sea, which I should have known even 20 years after living on the coast, took the family back there and thought, it would be really wonderful to have a motel in the Charleston Harbor so that my, 10, 12-year-old children could experience it. What I forgot was the stench when the tide goes out and leaves all this rotting behind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you see a starfish, just try smelling it. Well, yeah, we learned in a hurry. That was good we only had one night booked there. Dad, this stinks. Yeah, it does. I guess I forgot that part. Some of you have had experiences with beached dolphins, whales, or turtles, right? It was never intended by God to be that way. All the death in the world, the sea is gone, so goes the rain. The whole hydrological system that wasn't there in paradise because the Garden of Eden was watered from springs and rivers from underneath the ground. Rain didn't come till much later, maybe 2,000 years later when the flood came. That's the first record of rain in the Bible, at least. And no longer any sea. Get rid of the water. That's such a problem. And look at the water. That's such a blessing. John says in chapter 22, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, which was as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Picture language. The Lamb in Revelation is not the suffering Lamb. It's even a different word from what John said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The word in Revelation for the Lamb is the victorious Lamb, the one who conquered in the strife, died and rose again. And this river, clear as crystal, is flowing from the throne of God. No pollution there. None whatsoever. None in that water. And none else is needed. except that water of life. That should be setting off bells for you. Remember in Psalm 46, some have told me this is your favorite psalm, God is our refuge and strength. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. That river is a picture of the way the Lord keeps streaming to us his grace and mercy in the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. Jesus was talking to that sinful woman at Jacob's well about this. She's out there by herself. You know, she's got to be embarrassed because of her lifestyle, living with a man she's not married with. She's living in sin. And Jesus is leading her to repentance in such kindness, such mercy. And he asked her for a drink, remember that? And if you knew who was asking, you'd ask me because I can give you living water. Who? That would be great. I wouldn't have to come out here anymore. Embarrass myself. Jesus says, the living water that I have will become like a spring inside you, welling up to eternal life. That artesian well. It's phenomenal. As the Lord lets us drink in thirsty souls, that water starts to also flow from within. Because he doesn't stop when our heart is full. He then gives us a bigger heart so we can overflow with more. And the overflow is for everyone around you. I will run the way of your commandments when you will enlarge my heart. Or as one of the church fathers said, Lord, give me what you demand, then ask what you will. I got nothing without you. And the Lord says, in heaven, that river will not stop flowing, clear as crystal from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of the city street and on each side of the river was a tree of life that yielded 12 kinds of fruit. The tree yields its fruit every month and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Healing of the nations. No more pandemics. No more sicknesses. Remember once I was depressed about something, don't remember what it was, just remember picking up the medical encyclopedia that was lying out and looking through all these diseases and sicknesses I'd never heard of, because nobody I know ever had them. What does that say about God's mercy on me? What am I down about, right? The Lord picks us up in so many ways, gives us hope because this tree, and it's hard to translate. Even Dr. Becker said in his book, we're not sure how to translate this. The way it sounds here, you got the stream, the river, and the tree, the one tree, is on both sides of the river. See, that's not impossible in apocalyptic literature. These are visions. It's also possible that the river was here, the street was here, and the tree was in between. Really doesn't matter. The main thing is, it just keeps bearing fruit. And that means eternal life never ends. It just keeps on going. And you don't have to worry about PTSD for veterans or anxiety for those who never served. We can all find things to be anxious about, right? Eating disorders and starvation from borders and hoarders and all giving way eventually. In that great banquet where Jesus says he himself will be dressed to serve. He pictures this as the finest of meats and the finest of wines. We don't know if this is picture language for us who are like little babies who are still drinking from a bottle, or somebody who's only fed intravenously and doesn't remember what food tastes like anymore. Is he just trying to help us understand how awesome heaven will be? Or will we actually, like Jesus, with his glorified body amidst his disciples, be able to eat the fish and the honeycomb? Not have to, because you can't die again. And not at all like Casper the ghost. It doesn't fall out on the floor. Eat and enjoy? I don't know. Sure be fun to find out, won't it? For the healing of the nations, the tree keeps on yielding 12 kinds of fruit. Remember the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles? In Revelation, these numbers mean the church. And the church will be richly fed as this tree is on both sides of the river. And in the water, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That was in our Bible class again this morning, when husbands are told to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy by the cleansing with water through the word. Our baptism is what makes us clean in God's sight. And that's the way we husbands are commanded to unconditionally, with self-sacrificing love, wash away our wife's impurities with love and kindness. It'll talk later to the wives about respect. That all comes, yes. Submission, it's all there. But here we have to think about this tree yielding in this crystal clear flood of God from in our baptism. To live in that day by day wash clean in the blood of the Lamb and through the water of baptism to rise to newness of life. You have a bright future beyond the sun in the water, and you have it also in the light. He says there will no longer be any curse. No curse at all. Remember where that came from? God warned them. Said it to Adam. He apparently repeated it to Eve. Don't know if he added some part or if she did, but all he said was, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, because on the day that you eat of it you will surely die. What's death in paradise? Here's part of our problem. And it's increasing in America today, and we are not immune from this. God points at something and calls it sin. It looks attractive and pleasurable, whatever it may be, whatever your weakness is or mine. And it bites in the end. It can only bring death. James chapter 1, sin when it is finished and is full grown brings death. But we sleep through the warnings. We don't understand them. Doesn't make sense to us. Life is good. Isn't our country kind of like the Israelites over and over again in this cycle through judging, through judges? So remember, my wife, when teaching Sunday school, it was probably our kids in class. I mean, they'd say, as you got to another problem after a good judge, then the people would, and the kids would say, not again. And the Sunday school teacher has to say, this is us. When life is good, oh, this is going to go on, right? We don't know how good we have it. We can just foolishly make this decision or that decision, whatever it may be, in our country or in our personal lives, and then we're surprised that things don't just evolve into something better by accident. God help us. I will. I do, he says. Look at the light, no longer any curse, because the curse that came on Adam for listening to his wife when he should have listened to the Lord brought death into the whole world. Romans 5. But Jesus is the second Adam. And the Lord put on him the iniquity of us all. And as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And you're already living in that eternal life, trusting in Jesus as your Savior. The throne of God there and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will worship him. Oh boy, that really bothers people sometimes. Really, in heaven, we'll never get out of church? Any of you ever ask your parent one time, do I have to go to church? Remember my story on that one? Dad, do I have to go to church? Yes. He was the pastor. Our church was half the basement of the small house. No insulation. I would have had to sit on my bed and it was right above the altar. Think about it. What was I going to do? Somewhere along the line, it became clear I really needed to ask the Lord's forgiveness on my attitude toward worship. And he made it into one of the most enjoyable things I do. One of the things I love more than anything. To worship the Lord with my fellow Christians. To look forward to heaven where we'll all know the songs and all have voices to sing them in whatever language heaven has. If you knew an instrument, to be able to play it without mistakes, to know all the melodies, sing with a voice. How hard is it if you have a favorite team that really had a tough season but finally goes to the championship and wins that big game? Anybody have to tell you to cheer? That's how it'll be in heaven when this is finally over. You won't have to be told to praise the Lord. You won't be able to stop. How do families feel? Some of you know this from experience. When the war is finally over and the loved ones come home and there they are, they survived, and oh, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't stop. That great reunion in heaven with all those who have passed on before us by faith in Jesus to celebrate there. But now, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship, the liturgy of your lives. That's worship now, but it's only going to get better. To break forth in song, they will see his face. Is there ever someone that you really just long to see? Maybe even were afraid that face might be angry? And then you finally see their face and they're smiling and all is well. And this is God smiling in delight to see you finally home with him. Finally close, as everyone is close in heaven. All together at last. Ah, we'll see him face to face. And he will lift up his countenance upon you and look upon you with favor and give you peace. It'll all come true there in that eternal blessing. His name will be on their foreheads. It's on all of you right now. I don't see any tattoos, not on the forehead. And whoever was baptized as a baby, after you were done, you still look the same. After the water dried, pretty wet, right? Baptism. Yeah, but then you look the same. How does God know? Well, he can see the invisible sign of the cross. Fall of 1986, when I was being commissioned here as a home missionary down the road, Mount Olive Lutheran Church. This church wasn't here yet then. I remember one of the pastors, in the laying on of hands, did something strange. He puts his hand on my head and he, with his thumb down like that, and across like that. Took me a while to figure it out. He just made the sign of the cross on my head. Paul to Timothy says, in the laying on of hands, there is power. Could that be why it just doesn't seem right until we've been at the cross? Until we've worshiped Christ crucified again and risen? To live in that mercy, to die in that peace, to rise in that glorious resurrection. God can see it, and you're marked by the Holy Spirit in your baptism. There will no longer be any night or any need for lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will shine on them. No more sun. That means no more sunburn for those of us who can barely look at the sun, right? And they will reign forever and ever. Hope forever and ever. The last verse of our hymn today is one that we haven't sung all that much, but it is a new favorite, the last closing hymn. The word is forevermore. How long will this last? Forevermore. Sometimes I think another language can give a better impression, and I guess I'm biased toward Luther's German. In 2003, when my maternal grandfather passed from grace to glory, it was my privilege to preach for his sermon, and since his heart language was German, still said his prayers in German, I read Psalm 23 and then just translated the German into English. Didn't realize how powerful that last word is in Psalm 23. Remember how it goes? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, immerdar. Immerdar. We would have to say forevermore. The word so stuck with my mom and a friend of hers, this was her father, going from grace to glory, that whenever these two Christian ladies would see each other, they would just greet each other with immerdar, forevermore. Works for me. You figure out your own greeting. But how long will you be in that brilliant future beyond the sun? For Jesus' sake, forevermore. Amen.